This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
Happy 1 year anniversary, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to the 1 year anniversary special episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. Can you believe I have been doing this for a whole year? It has been such a fun ride. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to this thing, telling your friends about it, helping it spread through word of mouth, writing iTunes reviews. I know a few people have been using the Amazon affiliate link, which really helps us out as well. And very soon, we are going to be launching the All Access Club. That's right. That's what we're going to call it. The Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. We're still ironing out the details. I know this has been going on for a while, but these things, they take time, you know, to figure out all the different things we have to do. But I'm confident in the next couple of weeks, that will be a thing. So get ready for the All Access Club. Very, very excited to launch that. I know there are some diehards that want more. That one episode a week, you know, this is episode 53, and that's just not enough for some of you, and you want more. So I will give you more. And that is what the All Access Club will be all about. And today, it's pretty cool. From where we came, we will return. It's come full circle. The prodigal son has returned. I don't know. Hey, we got Caleb Shomo from Beartooth back on the show, part two. As you probably know, he was the first guest ever on the very first episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. He was also the first person I ever sat down with. It seemed only fitting for the 1 year anniversary of the show to have him back to talk about all the amazing things Beartooth have going on, everything that's happened to them in the last year. It's been a crazy year. So catching up with Caleb, who is one of my best friends, was amazing, and I'm so happy he could join me for this episode. If you haven't heard the first one, sure, go back, check it out. You can listen to all these episodes. You don't have to listen to them in order. It doesn't matter. I think if anything, it's better to start with the new ones and work your way backwards, you know, because they're usually more relevant to the time, and we talk about current events and things going on, so I think the more current, the better. But you know what? Do whatever the hell you want. As long as you're listening to my show, I am so stoked. In other news with me, if you're listening to this from Europe, I'm coming with my band Silverstein. We're playing the Rise Up tour over there. It is us, Memphis May Fire, The Devil Wears Prada, and Lake Mazda Flames. We're doing like 10 UK shows, 6 German shows, a couple shows in France. Yes, France. That's right, France. Don't forget about France. Belgium and the Netherlands, and those shows are coming up fast. I leave tomorrow for Europe, so please don't sleep on tickets. Go get them now. You can get them wherever, you know, I don't know where you buy tickets in Europe. Wherever you do that, though, that's where they will be available. And if you live in the fine city of Detroit, or Cleveland, or Pittsburgh, or Philadelphia, or New York City, please come see me on tour solo with my solo outfit, River Oaks. We are doing, well, I am doing a tour between Christmas and New Year's. It's a very, very nice time to tour. Everybody's home. You got your Christmas money. Nothing really going on. No one's working. So come hang out with me. I'd love to meet y'all. Tickets are on sale for that tour right now. Go over to riveroaksmusic.com. There's some VIP stuff as well, but riveroaksmusic.com, and you can grab your tickets. And if you want to help out the show, I mentioned earlier the Amazon affiliate link. If you buy anything off Amazon, anything at all, and we got Christmas coming up, there's lots of things that you're going to need to buy. And Amazon, I mean, geez, it's a great place. They got everything. They even got the new Nintendo Classic Mini. I'm sure it's sold out, but they had it at one point. So, hey, whatever you're going to buy, use our Amazon affiliate link. It is leadsingersyndrome.com/Amazon. leadsingersyndrome.com/Amazon. Takes you right to the Amazon homepage. You log in as normal. Whatever you buy, we get 4-6%. It costs you absolutely nothing. So please check that out. It really, really does help us keep this thing running. And lastly, if you want to get in touch, leadsingersyndrome at gmail.com. We are on all the social networks. Check it out. I got a Snapchat as well. Real Shane Told. Boom. Done. There's the intro. Hey, thank you, listeners. Sinners, that's what I'm calling you. Thank you so much, my sinners, for a great year. And here's to many, many more. Cheers. Cheers sound. Pop the champagne, whatever I'm going to do. It's probably just going to be a couple like cans of beer, but hey, you know, whatever. I'm just alone on a Sunday night. But hey, thank you very much for listening. Love you all. Here it is. My conversation with my good pal, Mr. Caleb Shomo of Beartooth.
Chew what's up, spit us out. You know what you're breeding.
My dude.
We are doing it.
Ha! Here we go again. Round two.
Holy shit.
Can you believe that I've been doing this podcast for a year?
Dude, what happened? It feels like not long ago that we were doing this drinking cocktail.
It doesn't feel like long ago at all on the Warped Tour, but so much has happened.
Yeah, shit's been pretty full on since then, man. I don't even remember what the last thing we like talked about then was. It's all been such a blur. It's crazy.
Well,
seriously, dude.
I should have probably went back and listened to the episode again. I remember it pretty well, but I mean, at that point, you know, you guys hadn't even started, you know, or you hadn't started writing Aggressive yet.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, you were still. You were talking about how in the in-between, how that song was just popping off on radio and how you were going to extend the album cycle. So it's kind of wild now. Here we are a year and a half later since we talked. And, you know, you're popping off on your second record, basically on like your first like serious headline tour. So how's everything going?
Dude, it's unbelievable, man. We are like coming to the end of the tour. And it's been absolutely insanity, dude. I mean, first off, the fact that we have Every Time I Die on our tour, to me, is just like a mind blower. That band is so sick. And, you know, it's just really crazy to watch them every night. And they put on such a gnarly show. It's very, very cool. But, you know, they just crush. So that's one thing that I literally get on stage and I'm like, give it up for Every Time I Die. And every time I say it, I'm like, holy shit, that's a real thing that I'm saying right now. And like,
and they're opening for you. You know what I mean? It's not like,
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying is it's like, it is really hard to wrap my head around. And then dude, so I just sent, we have a show. Well, we have a day off and a show tomorrow in Columbus.
Yes.
And I just confirmed on an email for our finalized pyro cues. that's a real thing that I just did on an email. Was when our pyro's going to be going off, when our CO2's going to be going off. We have like spark explosions going off of the truss, and we're doing like a full fucking filming all day thing. And it, I don't know, things went from, you know, in between doing well to we have, I just sent an email about fucking pyro.
Yeah,
like, what is happening, dude?
Yeah, like, don't pull a James Hetfield and get burnt by the flash pot.
Yeah, you know? I'm gonna do my best.
No, I mean, that's pretty damn cool. Yeah, so the Columbus show, I assume it's already sold out, and that's your big hometown show tomorrow. That's something that we don't talk about a lot on this podcast is like, the whole hometown thing, you know, because obviously you're a touring band, you get accustomed to playing different cities all over the world all the time, but there really is nothing like doing that hometown show when like I'm sure your family's going to be there, your friends. It really is different.
Oh, it's totally different. I mean, the last time we did one was at this venue called the Newport Music Hall, which is a great venue in Columbus, and it was a killer show. And then we didn't even really have, we didn't have any touring support. It was just kind of a one-off for us, and we had some of our friends' bands come and play. And that went really well. So the fact that we get to do this again, and the venue is Express Live, which is going to be the biggest headline show we've done. It's 2,200 people.
Nice.
And it's kind of daunting, honestly. Like, this is, that's the venue growing up. You know, you start playing in bands and you work your way up. There's like the Columbus circuit, which is like you play in someone's basement, then you play, you know, hopefully the venue called The Basement, which is like a 300. Then you go to maybe the 700. Then you go to maybe the, you know, the 1,000 or like 1,200. I don't remember what Newport is, but if you can make it to Express Live, that's like the fucking dream, at least for me. So it's truly unbelievable, man. And that's like, since we last talked, I feel like that's just what has been happening in different ways. Like, were we confirmed for the Slipknot tour?
Warped? But you couldn't talk about it yet.
Right. Yeah. So like,
that we did. I think that you got the news the day we talked.
That was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, because we got that, and I mean, obviously my mind was fucking shattered, and so I'm like trying to not, you know, say anything about it, and I really, it was tough to do. Then right after that, about a week later, we confirmed a like Bring Me the Horizon Europe tour, which was our biggest tour we did over there. And then from there, it's just been kind of like going insane. The touring has been... the whole thing has been nonstop, not even just the touring. Like, we did all those tours and went straight into making a record. And then it was just, well, here you go, right back at it again. Like, it's hard to, like, stop and breathe and actually think about
it. You haven't, though. I mean, you haven't stopped at all. The break you took to make a record didn't feel like a break to make a record. It felt like just a little, like, someone blinked and you're back. You know, I had Chris from Lake Mazda Flames on the other day, and, you know, obviously another Ohio band, and we were talking about the idea of hype, you know, and how you start a band, you know, you put a song on the internet, people start talking, you get signed, and there's this hype that forms, and eventually,
absolutely,
the hype wears off. And for Lake Mazda Flames, they had a kind of an issue where the hype kind of went away, and you know, and they had a lot of trouble trying to get that hype back. With you guys, it has not waned. The hype just has been there, and it has just seemingly almost increased. And like, it's kind of wild, dude. And I just almost wonder, I mean, you're on the inside looking out, but like, what you attribute that to, if anything.
Dude, I really wish I knew better. I don't know. I've had this talk actually with a few different people that are just like, what is it like to, you know, with all this shit going on? I just don't really know. From my point of view, I'm so like out of the loop on how our band is doing. I know that sounds really weird, but just at least me personally, like, I'm not a huge like internet dude. I just don't follow a ton of the stuff that like stay on like the hype network, kind of like the hype circuit. So I just assume, I was like, yeah, we had our first record and it went well, and you know, I think we did have our hype moment where we like Warped, I think, was huge, and then like, you know, the Warped, well, first Warped and the second Warped, and then for me, since this second record has come out, it's been pretty fucking scary, because it happened so quick with the first album, and then the second record honestly was put together, the majority of it was done within about 2 months, which is kind of freaky when the first record was done over the course of
a long time,
months and months and months. It was just like kind of songs written here and there, so throw all that shit together. And then we didn't, like, our first stuff wasn't in the United States. We went straight to Europe to support our new record, which was a very new thing to me. And we've been hitting Europe and the UK really hard, which is a tough thing as an American band to be hitting so young, but we've been trying to make a point to do it. So going from, you know, putting out the record, and then we did, we had some great shows. I mean, we did Download on Main Stage, which was like the first, like, endless, I call it like the endless sea crowd, where like you literally can't see the end. And, you know, that was,
that's an incredible feeling.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's literally, it leaves you speechless. And that was the craziest show we've ever played. But we go from that, and then we did some Europe festivals, and we just kind of went to still trying to, like, really build over there and, like, put out the record and then go with a bang, you know, do some huge tour and boom, 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 boom. It was more kind of, like, still just setting everything up, which is kind of scary because to me in my head, I'm like, how have people even been receiving the record in the U.S.? How have people... Right. You know, all over the world, I don't really know. And then, you know, we did, obviously, with you guys, we did the tour with Pierce, and we did Hawaii, and then right after we went straight to Japan.
Silvertooth, baby,
so it was like, Silvertooth, yeah, Silvertooth lives, and also, will never die.
Never.
Gonna make it a tour. It's gonna happen someday. You heard it here first.
It's gonna happen.
It is absolutely gonna happen.
You heard it here first, and it's, we're doing stuff. We're talking.
We're talking. So, we got things working. But yeah, like, so even then we didn't even we just went all over to all the other countries first.
Yeah.
And I think it's been more relieving to me as time has gone on, cuz my biggest fear was the US. The US is a tough market, honestly, man, to like keep a hold on because people get shows constantly. Even on this tour that we're doing right now, there are so many tours going on that are huge tours.
Yeah.
And, I mean, tons of them. And, like, all coming to the same rooms. And, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking. But going into this, after doing Australia, which went great, I think we did well. All the new stuff went over great. Hawaii was a lot of fun. Japan was really cool. That Europe tour we did was great. But, you know, like I was saying, coming back here and it being so scary to be in the States, and like, that's when you see if the hype is still around or if you are a fucking one-hit wonder. You know, that's what I was honestly scared of. I was like, did we strike gold with this first record?
Right.
And then is this next one going to be a dud? And it really, as far as I know, it seems to be working out, man. The shows have been great. People are fucking having a great time. And the new songs seem to be going over really well.
Yeah, I want to talk about the new record, Aggressive. You wrote it a lot faster. Obviously, like, something that is kind of, you know, I think everybody in the music industry knows. Maybe fans don't know it as much. But the second record is like the make or break for every band. The sophomore slump is a real thing. I've had this conversation with people numerous times. I don't know about on the podcast, but it's almost impossible to name a band that really fucked up their second record and still was able to have a career.
Dude, I completely agree. Second record is the most important record of your career. Absolutely.
But for you to make it so quickly and just sort of like, I don't want to say shit it out because that's obviously not, you know, but compared,
I mean, it's pretty close.
But you know, compared to the amount of effort and you know, just, you know, it was so, like, we talked about you making that record and, like, you know, you're crying on the floor at the end of the record in your own studio, you know, pouring your soul and your heart into that record, and then this one just is like, yeah, I pretty much did the whole thing in 2 months. It's like, that's kind of a crazy way to approach it, is it not?
Yeah, oh, it is. It absolutely is. I mean, the whole thing was, it's like really hard to explain even the process of this. So I'm going to try my best to explain how this 2 months even went. Like, yeah, like you said, you know, the first record was, it had a way different tone. And it took a lot longer because I think I was still trying to figure out what Beartooth meant to me and what the sound was and what the emotion was I was trying to capture. And so it took a while to discover that. But the thing that was a little different with why I was okay with making the second record so fast is we toured like we talked about. We extended the first record cycle way longer than we expected it to be.
Yeah.
You know, we did a full 2-year cycle. And for bands in our scene, that's, you know, that's kind of long sometimes. So doing a full 2-year cycle, you know, I'm out on the road just seeing show after show after show of what are the people responding to?
Right.
What parts are they standing there with their arms crossed, bored out of their minds, and what parts are they having a blast? So that was a huge influence on Aggressive, because to me, like, we have so much invested in our live show.
You're a live band. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
If people haven't seen Beartooth, that's, you know, if you hear them and you're like, oh yeah, no, band's pretty good, you have to see it live. You know, you just have to. And going back to my question I asked you about the hype, I mean, I guess I was almost alluding to maybe that's the reason, is because your live show, you know, so I mean, putting your live show into your new record, that's a fucking great idea.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks. And it just seemed natural. It seemed like the progression, because also I was so fucking bummed out just on the first record emotionally. I was completely like torn down, real sad. Excuse me. And like that, I don't know, that was what drove the record, was like insecurity and pain and all this dark shit. And all that touring, I think, really helped me get my head together, and it helped me figure out what I wanted to do. And I'm a completely different person now, I think, than I was when I wrote that first album. And that also had a huge influence, and it kind of like turned into just being pissed off. It instead of it being this like, okay, well, here's like, you know, the happy record where it's going to be real fucking boring and, you know, whatever. He's not going to have anything cool to write about. It turned into, my happiness became like anger at the past, because I spent so much of my life completely fucking entrenched in depression and sadness and all these negative emotions that it pissed me off. I feel like I wasted, you know, six years of my life or something to just worrying so much about fucking things that don't matter.
Well,
and
yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so where that came to, I think, with the tone of the record and why it happened so quick is because it had just been pent up on the road for like, I've been wanting to write for so long. Yeah. And then I got in the studio and it was just like, boom, 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 song, 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 just like lyrics out the ass, fucking riffs all over the place. It just like exploded.
Lyrics out the ass. I want to take that clip. I just want to take that clip and use it over and over again. Lyrics up the ass.
Lyrics out the ass.
But
I mean, yeah, well, literally talking out of my ass.
We were talking last time on the last podcast, and you know, you were sort of talking about what your approach was going to be with the second record, because I kind of said to you, I'm like, you're kind of a happier guy now. You're in a way different place. You know, Attack is very, very far in the rearview mirror at this point. And I said to you, you know, what are you going to write about? And you kind of mentioned that you thought the record might almost be like a prelude to kind of what happened with Attack. What did you end up kind of writing about with these songs? Like, you know, if you can talk like specifically about some of them.
Yeah, totally. The song Loser is absolutely like a prelude to Attack and that whole era of my life. That the song is about like childhood and just, I guess, what kind of drove me into that place and things like just trying to do anything to please anybody, like anything to be accepted, to the point of losing who I was as a person. And, you know, the song is also just about my love of music and that being the one thing that makes me just not give a fuck about anything else in this world, because that's who I am. That is absolutely my identity through and through, is just music. period. So no matter what I try to do to make other people happy or to try and fit in and be cool, none of it worked and none of it did anything for me. So, and it always came back to music. It came back to like playing guitar and playing drums and writing songs. So, you know, there's Loser, and then there's things like the song Aggressive, which, I mean, oddly enough, today after our election happened.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, like, we have to at least touch on this at some point. Oh, it was inevitable. Oh, dude, it was going to come up.
I'm pretty destroyed today, man. I mean,
literally, I was like nauseous last night, like almost in tears.
For people listening to this, this is, we're talking on the Wednesday, so we're talking the day after the election. Trump has won.
Trump has been elected president of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I'm not even like a very political dude. I'm not very, you know, well versed in this whole world, but
yes,
there are just things that you cannot be fucking blind to. And oh my God, I'm like so filled with fucking anger and like sadness and I don't even know how to explain it, but yeah, it's really fucked. So, you know, at least this coming into the song Aggressive, like, this is all, you know, starting to happen when I was writing this song. And it's just kind of about, like, how this society turns people fucking evil. And, like, you know, what do you expect when this is the way you are? As either a leader or be a parent, pretty much anyone with influence and anyone with power, I look at the state of so much of like our youth and our generation, and you know, myself included, that it just makes us fucking violently angry.
Yes,
and like what? Basically, what else do you expect? What else do you expect is going to happen when you fucking do this? And, like, our music video is the first thing remotely political we've ever done as a band. But, I mean, it's pretty fucking straightforward. Like, look at the illusions in that video.
I've seen
it's
the
like,
video. What happens in the video?
Well, I mean, it was like the... We were getting texts from you guys. I don't remember who, but I think there was a small group text with maybe like Bill and Paul Mark and a few people that were like, because it had that dude Canis who was like the fucking leader. And there's like basically the video, if you haven't seen the Aggressive music video in a nutshell, is there, it's like a point of view camera of a dude who's like kind of running around causing mischief and kind of raising hell in this, it seems like, kind of dictatorship era, or like, you know, very strongly alluding to the state of our country and where it was headed, and now what is reality. And, you know, there's like posters on the wall. It said like, it was some made up dude. It said like Canis 2016 or something. And he's like going up and spray painting it and like fucking writing fuck you on it or whatever. I don't really remember. Okay. And then he like, kid goes up to a table with like people trying to pass out flyers for this guy, and he like flips it. Basically the whole thing happens, finds like one of his political advisors, and he like ties him up. It's actually pretty fucking gnarly. And then the kid's like 8 years old at the end of the video. And you know, but yeah, I do remember getting texts from you guys that were like, fuck Canis 2016, and like it was really funny. But yeah, I mean, that I think pretty much what we're trying to sum up with that is it really affects so much of the future. Like, I get it. I don't get it. I don't have any reason. I see zero reasoning with any of this. But basically, people, they're just so blind willingly blind. They're not blind. They just fucking want to be. They're selfish to the fact that we're the people that have to live with this. We are the fucking generation that has to grow up, you know,
right.
and be because America our generation, after fucking Donald Trump
right.
was, you know, our president.
Because our generation would have been, I mean, a vast majority of people voted our age voted for Hillary Clinton. You know, like, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know the numbers. I don't have them in front of me, but a vast majority. That's a good point. And that's something that isn't talked about, really, is that, you know, like, you know, even like, well, I'm Canadian, right? So, you know, but I was talking to my dad today. My dad's 71. And he's like, I don't know, maybe Trump's going to do a good job. It's like, well, you know what, Dad? Like, if he doesn't, you know, and I hope my father doesn't pass away in the next few years, obviously, but, you know, you're not going to be around to see it. You know what I mean? I'm going to be here, and my children, your grandchildren, are going to be the ones dealing with it if Trump really moves us backwards and fucks everything up, you know, in our society. And that's a great point that isn't really talked about that much. It's like these old people, it's like almost you almost get to a certain age, it's like, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to vote anymore.
Dude, it's like, why? It's fucking up everything for all of us that want to, like, try and move forward and want progress. And, like, even just, like, things that you think would be fucking common sense, or else you would just be a literal hate monger, is, like, just now that's fine. Like, the fact that, like, what the oh my god, first off, like, all the things with women and the way he treats them, all these documented things, and people are just like, wow, nah, it was locker room talk. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Fuck you. Like, that yeah, is,
I know,
you are so fucking narrow-minded. The guy is openly fucking bigot, like an open bigot, an open racist, fucking anti-Muslim. Like, and again, I'm not even a political, like, dude at all. This is just from me as a person seeing this person and just the way they act. It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
It's literally one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. And now he's the leader of the quote-unquote free world.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck happened? Literally, what the fuck happened? I just can't even, like, I don't even know what to do, what to say. Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
I'm having a lot of trouble, you know, like, my sister lives in Las Vegas, you know, she has a family, she has three kids, my three nephews, and it's, the part I'm really having trouble with is, like, you know, my oldest nephew, he's 11, and, you know, he's heard Trump, he knows about the grab her by the pussy thing, you know what I mean? Like, he knows
yeah.
that was said, and now he knows that man said that thing, and now he is... the, you know, like you say, he is the leader of the free world. What is that teaching a child? That you can say and you can do whatever you want. You can say and do disparaging things against women. I mean, isn't Trump going to go on trial for raping a 13-year-old girl? I mean, is that true?
I know that
on the internet.
I've been reading things, like, I know he has a lot of charges that have been kind of like, been trying to be swept to the wayside during this election. I know that for sure is a thing.
I just don't like that my, you know, my 11-year-old nephew is like, oh yeah, no, you can say that, you can do that, and you're going to win. You can be the president of the United States, because it used to be you would tell kids you can be anything you want. You know, you're an American. You can be anything you want. You can be the president of the United States one day if you work hard enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you do well in school,
it makes me sick.
And now that man has basically showed that you can be basically a piece of shit and get there. And I just don't, whatever. I don't care what his economic policies are. I don't care if his tax plan is the greatest thing ever. The fact that he is representing America, the free world, you know, and all these children are looking up to him. I mean, God damn, that's... That's
dude,
not
it's
good,
it's terrifying. It's literally terrifying. What he has said is like, yeah, you can, you know, because back in the day it was, you can be anything you want to be. You can be a fucking astronaut. You can be a you know, firefighter. You can be any of these amazing things if you put your mind to it. Now, you know what he is fucking representing? He's like, you can be a racist. You can be a bigot. You can absolutely be a sexist and a misogynist and a pig as long as you're rich and can work the system right and you're a white man. You can do whatever you want. Right. Like, what the fuck kind of country is this that is like, that's like the new fucking, what to me seems like what our kids are going to get their heads wrapped around.
I
mean, is like,
I know. And I, you know, it's a huge step backwards. I'm very disappointed. And I know a lot of people out there are, and a lot of people are, I mean, having a lot of trouble getting out of bed this morning. I mean,
Jesus. We needed to get that one off our chest.
We had to talk about that.
Because there is no way we couldn't get that out of the open.
No.
But, man, anyway. Let's try our best to regroup here a little bit.
We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, and I'll be right back with more from Caleb from Beartooth.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Outer Loop Records. Originally founded as a sister company to Outer Loop Management in 2013, whose owner actually owns Jabberjaw, so very near and dear to my heart. Well, they're back. Outer Loop Records is back. They have a new partnership with Cooking Vinyl, and they're happy to announce they've signed four great bands: Chasing Safety, Magosh, Youth in Revolt, and Lorna Shore. Right now, we're going to play a quick clip of a brand new Chasing Safety song. This is from the album Brand New Prison, which comes out January 6th. If you like what you hear, pre-orders are available at allinmerch.com/outerloop. That's allinmerch.com/outerloop. And if you're in the greater New York City area, make sure you check out the Outer Loop Records Showcase November 17th at Webster Hall. They got some cool contests they're going to be running, and tickets are available right now at websterhall.com. So here is a clip from the brand new Chasing Safety album. This is Brand New Prison.
This is my life, and the choice is given.
Going back to you, I mean, in your, you know, we talked a lot about your depression, your anxiety that you went through, obviously, when you were younger, through the attack days, you know, and even going into the Beartooth days a little bit. How are you doing now? I mean, now that, you know, things are kind of settled down in terms of, like, you got your band together, you know, you guys are a real tight unit. Obviously, like, you know, you're married, Fleur, your wife is like a great friend of mine. She's awesome. You know, it seems like things in your life are really just kind of in a nice place for you. And so I'm just kind of asking personally, like, how are you doing? Do you still battle, depression at times? You know, how is that all for you?
Yeah, it's a lot better. It is absolutely a lot better. Having consistency is really cool. You know, when things are just so up in the air all the time, like, we never know what's going to go on. We even, you know, just like, how are we going to get gas money to go to the next show? Like, all these things that are like so many variables. It is much different nowadays. And I think, you know, I do like having, at this point in my life, after touring for coming up on 9 years, it feels like life is kind of stable. And it is still crazy as fuck. We are still constantly going all over the place and touring like mad, but at the end of the day, it's nice to know that I do have some of those consistencies, and like, you know, it is nice to go home and hang out with my wife and my dog, and you know, I have my friends, and it's nice to know that like everybody in the band is some of my best buds. I absolutely love every person in this band, which is a rare thing, honestly, man. Like, I mean, you know, you've been touring for forever. Like, to having bandmates that you're actually good friends with is not as common as you would think, which, you know, to people that don't really know, that aren't in the touring world. Like, a lot of people, you get in a few years and you realize you kind of hate these people, but, you know, you gotta put bread on the table sort of situation. So, you know, that's where a lot of things come out. But yeah, it's great, man. Everybody in the band is awesome. We're all having a blast out here on the road.
Hell yeah, man.
And well, life is very, man, I don't even know. It's like a whirlwind in a glass case. It's like, it's still controlled, but at the same time, it is pure madness going on the whole time. Absolutely. But at least I know that it's going to be controlled in one way or another, you know?
Well, I mean, you need a little bit of madness and a little bit of uncertainty.
Absolutely,
to keep it exciting,
man.
You know, that's the other thing too. We aren't singers of bands touring the world because we like things to be boring.
Fuck you know, no, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously,
we choose willingly to like, put ourselves in crazy situations.
Exactly.
But, yeah,
obviously,
keeps,
the excitement
keeps
is
things alive
that drives us. Exactly. It keeps us alive. I mean, going back a little bit to the hype thing, you guys have. I mean, there's a lot of bands in the world, Caleb. There's a lot of successful bands. There's a lot of cool bands. There's a lot of great bands. For you guys to be the undercard on a Bring Me the Horizon Under Oath
tour,
you to get picked over every other band, because literally any band would do that tour. That must have been like the Sally Fields thing. Like, you love me. You really love me. You know, like, that must have felt... That must have been real.
Dude,
like, you must have been like, holy shit.
Yeah, dude. That's so fucking cool. I mean, to me, you know, I'm 23 years old. So when I was growing up listening, getting into like kind of post-hardcore and this sort of stuff, fucking Under Oath was it, dude. They were the first band I think I ever heard that had screaming in it that wasn't like straight up death metal.
Right.
And I mean, I'm talking when I was young, dude. When did They're Only Chasing Safety come out? Do you know? Was that like 2004-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2004. So 2004, I was like 10 or 11. And yeah, that was a wild record for me to hear. And then, you know, we got to know those guys a bit just through various things. And then we did the AP Awards, where we did like a split song where we did,
right. I forgot about that.
That thing
was
with
cool
Under
as
Oath. Dude, that was like one of the coolest things ever. And, you know, so it truly is wild. Also, it's really cool, just at least with Under Oath specifically. You know, growing up, starting to be in bands from so young, it kind of takes away the, like, starstruck factor in a lot of scenarios. So, like, getting to know the...
Yeah.
You know, just because I've always been around this kind of world, and it's... it is different. To me, it's more of a thing of, I'm not like, holy shit, this is, like, some crazy, untouchable thing. Like, when I meet people, it's just like, it's more of a respect. It's like, I have so much respect for this person, and it was cool just to meet all those guys and get to know them the bit that we have, and them all just be so fucking cool, so genuine and down to earth. That's awesome. It's just like a huge respect that adds on to that. And same with, you know, Bring Me the Horizon. We toured with them that one time in Europe, and they are you know, arguably one of the fucking biggest bands on the planet right now. They just did two nights at the O2 Arena in London. That is 20,000 people per night, along with an entire arena tour around that. Like, that's
wild.
They're doing huge things, and they're all rad. They're all super fucking nice, just cool dudes. They like playing music, and they're really fucking good at it.
There you go.
So, I think where this all comes in is, I just can't believe, honestly, that we were the band that got that email.
I know. It is incredible. I mean, I can believe it because I know, you know, I see the hype and I know how good you guys are live. I mean, I've watched you guys play probably more times than I've watched any other band in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know,
for
and,
sure.
And the one thing is, Caleb, is you've never watched your own band play.
That's true.
You had to be up there.
I could, man.
You know, so I get it, but I totally understand the just being like, really, us? Like that must just feel amazing. And yeah, that's must just feel amazing.
Yeah, it's truly nuts. And yeah, it's such an honor. And I mean, the thing that's, I think I'm starting to understand a little bit of like, shit is really, like, something's really happening right now is, it just keeps happening. Like, when we got the offer for Slipknot, I literally almost, I didn't believe it was real. Genuinely. I was like, there's no fucking way that Slipknot just sent us an offer to tour with them. And it was. And then a week later, we got the thing from Bring Me that was like, hey, you want to do this? And we were like, no fucking way.
Right.
And then we start touring with all these, like, with these crazy bands, and then you know you think maybe that was just kind of it, maybe we had like this moment, but then no, we did Download Festival in front of fucking like 40,000-50,000 people, then we did, you know, then we get this fucking under oath, hey, you guys want to collab on a song at the AP Awards, then it's fucking let's do this tour. And we have like other tours that are insane right now again that I can't like talk about yet because they aren't announced. So it's fucking crazy, man. It's hard to wrap my head around.
I know, man. You know, it was cool seeing you up there with, you know, Under Oath doing that collab. It's funny because I'd say my two, like, best friend bands are you guys and Under Oath. Like, absolutely. Like, if I look at all, you know, and maybe, like, Bayside, too, I have to mention, you know, as being some of my best friends. But, you know, it's funny because we have such a generational gap in age between, you know, you and me, for sure. Like, we're like 12 or 13 years apart in age, yet, you know, you're one of my best friends. You know, and it's like, it's really actually kind of crazy, this, the Silvertooth thing, how, just how heavily our bands have, and our band members have bonded.
Dude, I've said this so many times, and like, to people that don't know, I'm just going to say, for people listening, like, this Silvertooth thing, literally, it just, when did it even, like, when did we start really fucking bonding? I mean, it was the tour we did with you guys where you took us out.
Well, that's tour, when it started. It was funny.
That's when,
you know,
like, the spark started, but then Warped Tour 2015 was when it was like, that was it. We hung out every single day. We had the porch.
Yep.
We had the cooler constantly full of good drinks. And
yes,
you guys brought a fucking Pelican, like, balls out cooler.
That's right. We still got
it. Which ended up making it on stage for the Silvertooth production.
That's correct.
Which was hilarious. But, like, you know, and the whole thing about Silvertooth and why it's so much fun to us is I think we can all collectively say, members of Beartooth, we have never bonded with a band so sincerely and so quickly. Like, it was, I don't know, man. Whenever we tour, even like Hawaii and, you know, Australia,
so
and dude, it was just like, literally, it felt like one giant band.
I know.
Like,
well,
we'd all fucking go and break off in random groups to go get lunch. And it's not like there's not any, I feel like I could go have a meal with any of you guys, have a great time and have a conversation. And that's like, that's what makes it different. It's not like, There's one or two guys in that band that I'm like pretty cool with. She's like, no, we literally all just fucking hung out constantly. And to the point where we're like, let's combine our sets on Warped Tour. And we made fucking Silvertooth. Oh my God. That Silvertooth was one of the most fun fucking days ever, dude. And we took the shirt money and we got pizzas and like, what a day. Never will forget it.
No, that is incredible. And yeah, it's funny. I recall it as being like, we did that tour, you know, and it was our headline tour. It was our Discovering the Waterfront 10-year anniversary tour. And it was very stressful the first couple weeks, like kind of ironing out the kinks in the set. We had this like backdrop reveal we were doing. And we were playing like 19 songs or something. And then you guys bailed on the tour for a bit to go to Europe. And I remember you guys leaving and us being like, oh, we miss Beartooth. And then you guys telling me in England, you guys were miserable over there touring the UK
with
pop bands or something. And then we came back and it was like, ah, like, I love you guys. And that was, to me, really when the whole Silvertooth thing started, you know.
That was the spark, man.
That was the spark. But it's funny you say the room thing, too. Like, remember in Adelaide, like, you and I shared a room. Like, you know, like typically when bands are on tour together, the bands, you know, band members will stay in the same, like at least the same band. We were like, no. Me and Caleb, we're just going to share a room tonight.
Yeah, and it was sick. And we would just fucking mix and match. And like,
yep.
Oh my God. We had like the craziest times of our fucking lives over there. And it's just rare that you meet a band that you genuinely get on that well with, man. It was fucking, it's crazy. So also thanks for fucking bringing me on for round two on this podcast.
Fuck very yeah, cool. Dude.
Very, very excited about it. Thanks for doing. Always
this is
a blast.
The 1 year anniversary of my podcast. And I felt like there's no better way to, you know, it's just come full circle. You know what I mean?
Right.
We've come around and we got to catch up anyways. You know, it's just like, I could just call you on the phone. We just have this conversation anyways, I guess, you know? But
true.
It's might as well do it on the record and obviously let the people know, what's going on with you and what's going on with Beartooth. Speaking of which, I guess Aggressive, it's been out for a little while now. You're going to ride it out for a while, I assume, but have you thought at all about third record?
Dude, I mean, I would be lying if I had said that I hadn't. You know, we like just really started getting underway on this cycle on this tour. Because we have the U.S. leg, which is done tomorrow. And then we have 2 days off. Then we go to the U.K. and Europe. And we do that whole thing.
Yep.
And, then after that, we're taking the winter off completely because I really wanted a break. I think we all as a band really need one just because it's been so fucking nonstop. So the tour ends like December 17th and that Bring Me tour starts on like March 8th or something, 10th, sometime early March.
So like 3 months.
So we're taking all that time off.
Nice.
And, I may have made some plans to start dabbling in a little bit of writing because it's very important to me on this record that I space it out more like the first record was. Because I think, honestly, man, like, I can do it. I've done those, you know, I've done records in 3 weeks. I've done them in a month. I've done them in 2-3 months. But at least after how hectic everything's been, I just want to try and space LP3 out a bit more. I want to do like writing sessions over the course of, you know, maybe like over the course of a year, and work with this dude for a little bit. Then I have like a month at home where I, you know, dabble in it, just not a high pressure situation.
Absolutely.
And, I'm going to start working on it, but I really don't know. Man, I don't have a fucking clue what it's going to sound like. that's what I love about making Beartooth records is I never know what it's going to sound like. I mean, I generally know like the Beartooth riff kind of like thing, But other than that, I just start writing, and whatever happens, happens.
Well, there's always going to be an element. I mean, you're the only one that writes Beartooth songs, right? I mean, so
yeah.
Whatever, things are going to sound like you. You know what I mean? It's not like you're bringing in different people. Although I do want to talk for a quick second about Connor, the new addition to Silvertooth, the latest. Connor Dennis is a hell of a drummer.
Oh my God! Dude, he's
one
amazing.
Of the best, and what a hilarious dude! How's he fitting in with
you guys? Dude, he's fucking great. I mean, he's a really good dude. Obviously, an incredible drummer, and I met him on Warped, and he was playing for Being as an Ocean, and I would go up and just watch him play drums every day. I'd just go watch him play, and you know, being a drummer. That's where we first connected, was just talking drums. And, you know, when things were happening with Brandon and we needed to kind of change it up a little bit, which also, definitely on the record, none of the Brandon leaving thing, because I don't know if I've ever really addressed this, because I don't, you know, it's not something I want to talk about to some fucking random person.
Right.
But, like, no, like, totally cool. Love the dude to death, genuinely, and this isn't like trying to bullshit.
No,
saying like, nah, it was cool when there was some huge problem, and like you've known Brandon, like we had no issues with him as a person. It was just some stuff, you know, that needed to change, and we still love the dude. Taylor still lives with the guy.
Like, I was gonna say, we still hang out. And
we all still hang out. It's all totally cool. So never think that it was like a personal thing to anybody who was curious,
right?
But yeah, so, you know, there was some things that needed to happen, and, you know, we talked with Brandon about it, and we all made our peace, and it was cool. And he went his separate way. And so, you know, we wanted to keep it a four-piece, just because the band has gone through a good bit of, like, member change and a good bit of trying to get things solidified. And, you know, so I called Connor because I knew that he had been out of Being as an Ocean, but I really wasn't sure what his stance was. I didn't know if he was like done with touring. That's why he was out or what. So I just literally called him. Just, he was the first person I hit up and was like, hey man. So we need a drummer to tour. Do you have any interest? And he was like, yeah, totally. And we had a tour in like a week and a half.
Wow.
You know, guy learns fucking 14, 15 songs in like 3 days and is sending me videos of it.
Wow.
Just crushing.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And also, I didn't really know the dude very well as a person. It was just kind of like, well, he's a fucking sick drummer and let's see how he is. And he's great.
He is
great. We love the dude. He is fucking hilarious. He's young. He literally just turned 20, which is crazy. He's the first person I have toured with younger than myself on, like, in our own camp in my life. And I've been touring for a long time, which is crazy. It's like reality starting to set in. I'm not the young buck anymore.
Well,
man.
I'm usually the oldest guy. I'm usually the oldest guy on every tour I do, or definitely the oldest guy on the bus. So I'm used to hanging out with younger people, and it's funny because, you know, hanging out with you guys, and obviously the first tour I hung out with Connor on was Europe, and then a lot in Australia, and it's rad because like he stepped in to the, you know, Silvertooth, and it was like he always been there, and he's like literally 15 years younger than me, and I don't ever think about that, you know, we just talk like. We're quoting like Curb Your Enthusiasm together and stuff. Like it's just,
That's the thing that's crazy about that dude. He has more knowledge about like fucking 90s music and old TV shows and like random, like the, I don't know how he has time to listen to all the records he's listened to in his life. It's really fucking weird. Like to me, at least, that he is so young and that dude has more knowledge than anyone I know. It's fucking crazy. I mean, and to come in, it's like the Silvertooth camp is a fucking tight-knit camp.
It is.
And he came in and just fucking, he made his way, dude. He killed it. It's awesome, you know, it's a tough thing to get in dialed, but the guy got it. And yeah, man, it's been cool. We have been having a lot of fun as well. Just with the live show, you know, we've been like me as a drummer and just like being able to work with somebody like that and know that he's behind the fucking kit. Just like he tears it up and he pushes me to want to be a better drummer and to want to write a better third record.
Sure.
So, yeah, man, having him tour for Beartooth and play drums live is absolutely incredible.
Awesome, man. Hey, Silvertooth lives, and you heard it here first.
Yeah, not going fucking anywhere.
Always working on Silvertooth. Always figuring stuff out. So
Silvertooth, like, always, there's always something going on. We're always talking. It is always a constant conversation. And I was saying, I think the last one I had was either with Bill or PMR. And I think it was with PMR, and he was pretty drunk. And he's like, we're doing fucking Terminal 5, New York City. We're doing Pyro. I was like, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Hey, man, you guys are already doing Pyro tomorrow, so you can let us know how that goes.
Yeah, oh my God.
If you don't blow up the entire city of Columbus.
Yeah, we're going to try our best not to. But goddamn. Yeah, man, Silvertooth lives. We got plans.
Absolutely. Well, Caleb, hey, thank you so much, man, for jumping on with me today for my 1 year anniversary party.
Dude, it was great. And congrats on the 1 year. This is fucking sick. I love listening to the podcast. Again, great for, you know, very grateful to you for having me on.
We'll make it a yearly tradition. How about that?
Let's
do it. Every year, we'll catch up, but we'll do it until.
Fuck yeah.
And for all 4 years of Trump's election. Yeah, right. Like, he's going to get through 4 years, dude.
Oh, yeah, right, dude.
Six months. I give it 6 months.
Yeah, God only knows. Jesus, this whole thing is going to be nuts.
This is going to be wild, though. I mean, like.
Yeah, I'm sure he will give us plenty of topics to keep our conversations interesting.
Yes, he will. Well, hey, man, thanks again. Have a great hometown show tomorrow. I hope you get extra nervous for that kind of shit, or are you just stoked?
A little bit, you know, really stoked. I am a little bit nervous just because it's surely the biggest headline show we've ever done.
Yeah.
And then we have all of these new elements that we're bringing in just for this one show.
Right. That's a little scary.
Yeah, so Squeaks, our lighting guy, who has also done stuff for Silverstein,
absolutely,
which is how we met him, who is great, if you ever need lighting. But he's bringing out
lights. If you ever need lighting.
Yeah,
anyone listening,
I don't know.
Hey, you need lights?
You ever need lights?
It's like
you want
that
to throw
episode,
the craziest party ever?
It's like that episode when Homer, of The Simpsons, when Homer starts playing bass. Have you seen that one?
I don't think so.
Look it up. Anybody listening to this, look up the episode where Homer learns to play bass. It's a newer episode, but there's a he's at like a guitar center, and the like guy's trying to sell him stuff, and he's like, "So you all covered on lighting?" And Homer's like, and the guy goes, "What about gels?" And Homer goes, "I got to be honest with you, I haven't even thought about gels."
Dude, like, yeah. So anyway, if you need squeak lights,
there you go.
The guy. But dude, he's bringing in, like, because we've had a light rig on this whole tour.
Oh, extra
fire.
He's
bringing out like four times our current light rig just for this one show. Dude, we're going so above and beyond. So it is kind of like, it's a little bit daunting.
Yeah.
It's, to me, it's just like, I hope my voice is the best it's ever sounded, and God damn it, we better put on the best show we've ever done.
There you go. Yeah, well.
But it'll be good. It'll be good.
Absolutely, man. No. Well, as always, it's great. Great to have you. I hope the hype keeps going. I hope you have a great time tomorrow, and hope to see you around soon. I guess we'll be hanging out in London, I think. I'll see you in
we'll hang out in London. That'll be fucking sweet.
Hell yeah, man. All right, dude. Silvertooth lives.
Silvertooth lives.
All right, Caleb.
See you, buddy.
You have a good one, man. So there it is, my conversation with Caleb. Just warms my heart to see good people playing good music and having it actually be successful and being rewarded for that. Beartooth, they get it. They love it. They care about their fans. And watching them grow over the past 2 years now has been incredible. And I'm just so proud to call them my friends. Also, Silvertooth, always a thing, will still be a thing. Keep your eyes and ears peeled because it's coming. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. If you love this episode, you're going to love the first one I did with Caleb. It's episode number one, so go back and check that out. And of course, thank you so much for an amazing year. Please, let's keep this thing growing. Tell a friend. Post about it on your social media. Do whatever you got to do to spread the word, because the bigger this thing gets, the better it's going to get. And that's exciting for me. I'll leave you with a new Beartooth song from their latest record, Aggressive. Here is my favorite song from the record. It's called Hated. Check it out on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love.
Who knew you'd be hated for being who you are? And be a big target for all the insecure.
Never will listen.